Good to see you guys back this evening. You're brave souls. Did you need to say something before we start, Dale? Okay. All right. You know, Sam said it would be a treat. Might be a treat, kind of like licorice. You know, it's a treat, but nobody likes it. So, anyway, we'll do the best that we can. Dan asked us to bring the lesson this evening, and the title of the lesson is, Do We Love the Lord Enough? And we're going to be reading from the text, John chapter 21, and it'll be verses 15 through 17, if you want to be turning there. And starting in verse 15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said again, feed my sheep. The significance of Jesus asking the third time if Peter loved him, even though it's not pointed out here in the scripture, you would certainly have to wonder if after that third time that Jesus asked him, Peter didn't recall the three times that he denied our Lord. And Jesus told him that he would do that. But it's not enough just to say that you love the Lord. If we don't serve God, then we're just giving it lip service. So service is definitely one of the biggest things that we can do to prove that we love the Lord. And our lesson this evening is going to be divided into three sections. The first one is, do we love him enough to read his word? And that's what I'm going to be talking to you about. And then Kyle, in just a moment, is going to talk to us about, do we love his people? Do we love him enough to separate from the world is what Adam will be speaking on. In Psalms 119 and 105, the psalmist says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever been stuck out in the woods at night without a light. But if you have, if you've done that, then you know how valuable that light is. Because there's lots of things to trip over. There's lots of potholes. There's lots of things that will poke you in the eye if you don't have that light. So when the psalmist was talking about the light unto his feet, boy, it brings back vivid memories of me being walking through the woods at night. You know, got caught out there maybe when I thought I was going to be in before dark, and I didn't make it. And even though you may know the path, there's still stumbling blocks out there when it's dark and you don't have that light. The good reading of the world is found in God's word, according to James 1 and 25. Not only the reading and hearing of the word, but the doing of it is where we're so blessed by doing those things. The word tells of God's love in John 3:16. It tells of God's grace in Titus chapter 2, verses 11. It tells of God's Son who took away the sins of the world, John 1 and 29. It tells of God's heaven, that great place that he's prepared for each of us if we do his will. And that's in Revelation 21. And it tells of a devil's hell, which none of us want to think about, but it's certainly something that each one of us, as we look in the mirror every day, need to ask ourselves, are we doing enough? Do we love God enough? The psalmist really had it right. Because God's word is that lamp unto our path. It's a reading lamp as it reveals the thoughts of God through His Word. It's a heating lamp. It warms a cold heart and brightens a cold day. It's a miner's lamp. It's suitable for the deepest, darkest pit that you could go in. God's light will light that darkness. The night lamp that shines into the darkness, and a safety lamp that will never lead us astray if we just stay on the path that God has mapped out for us. If we'll allow His lamp to lead us, then we'll certainly one day find that place in heaven that Jesus has promised. And now Kyle will be speaking on to love His people.
I'm always very concerned when Dan hands me one of these, because you never really know exactly what direction it's going to head in. And one of the biggest obstacles that you face is that there's a 5-minute time limit. And he'll give you like 10 scriptures. And you know that you could spend a lot of time on each one of them. So, I'm gonna do my best to work through this quickly for you. And to help you see what Dan intended for you to see through this particular aspect of lesson. As Henry stated, my portion of the lesson is to love His people. And you know as well as I do that some people are hard to love, you know? And I think sometimes I fall in that category, and I think we all do from time to time. And part of that is our human nature. There's a tendency as a human being to be selfish. And I think sometimes it's very difficult to love others as we should when we're selfish. And so I think that's something that we have to constantly work toward is being more loving and concerned with the needs of others more so than our own. And I think that as we begin to master that and grasp that, we better understand God's love. And so tonight we'll open with 1 John 4, verses 11. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And, you know, love means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And I think that, I think sometimes when we're quite young, you know, we have a bout with Cupid's arrow. And that's a different kind of love. But it's certainly intense. It's certainly a strong emotion. And it's certainly something that makes us do things that we might not normally do. But tonight, what I want to talk to you about is love more so as an action than as an emotion. And I think sometimes that's where we fail, is that we talk the talk, but then we don't walk the walk. We don't take action and show our love as we should. And I think that, you know, the example that God put before us in allowing His Son to be sacrificed for our behalf, I think that's taking action. That is actually walking the walk. And I think as Christians, I think we should constantly strive to walk that walk that God has laid before us through His example of love for each and every one of us. The Bible teaches us that it is possible for God's people to have misunderstandings, but they're certainly not to have hatred for one another. And you know that even as Christians, there are times where we disagree with each other. And how we handle that disagreement, I think, is what we're talking about tonight, is being able to put, you know, others before ourselves. Sometimes we let our pride get in the way of our love for one another. As Christians, we're still going to fail each other from time to time. There are going to be times when we simply agree to disagree. And I think it's in those times that we find that as Christians, we should be able to love one another even in these disagreements. The next thing that I want you to look at, the next scripture, is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read each and every one of these verses, but what I would like for you to do is look at verses 34 through 40 with me for just a moment. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison, or go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And I think that there are times that as Christians, we have those windows of opportunity to reach out and to help others, to reach out and make a difference, to reach out toward others and show God's love through our actions. Not that that individual deserves that love, but did we really deserve that love? It's truly by the grace of God that we're saved. And we have to look at others and understand that that example is set for us, and we should reach out to others even before they ask to help them. So when we see someone that is in sickness, we should reach out and we should try to help them any way that we can. When we see someone who is in sorrow, we should reach out and show our love to them. In Romans 12, verses 15 and 16, you can read where it's stated, "Weep with them that weep." And I think that, you know, many times we simply deal with the emotional aspect. And we say, yes, we love you. And we say, yes, what is it that we can do to help you? But I think what they're really wanting us to understand is that we need to take action. We need to find the things that we can do to help before we're asked, and step up and help those who are in sorrow. We also need to look at individuals that are suffering. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, The sufferings of this world are not to be compared with glory. Our sufferings in the world that we have today, which I know there's a lot of suffering that takes place. There's a lot of pain that takes place in the world that we live in today. But it does not compare to the suffering of Christ on the cross. And I think sometimes we tend to think that the things that we're going through here are eternal, and they're not. The life that we live on this earth is but for a moment. And we can endure these things. And we understand that we must show love to others through this process. The final thing that we'll talk about is loving His people when they sin. Look at James 5, verse 20. If you see a brother overtaken in a fault, restore such a one. We are going to sin. It happens. We do our best to try to live a godly life and to try to live a life without sin, but we fail. And I know I fail often. And through that process, I have to ask for forgiveness. And I think that we see our brethren fall, sometimes fall away from the church, and they stop attending. They turn their back to their church family. And I think when we see this, we should reach out to these individuals with love. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what they're talking about. Even if they're sinning, we don't turn our back to them. We reach out to them, show love, and try to bring them back in. Now, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, you also understand that there is also a time for discipline within the church. But you have to love someone to care enough to discipline. And I think that's important that we understand that we also reach out to that individual that is being disciplined, and we love them as well. Because at any moment in our lives, we can fail, and we are all answering to the same God at the end. And so if you would keep those thoughts in mind, that we should love His people as He has loved us. This time, Adam will present the third part of the lesson.
Good afternoon. I tell you, Dan gave me the opportunity to speak tonight on the separation of us from the world. And, we had a lesson this morning. Brother Brown came to us this morning and had a lesson this morning on the very thing. And I think he did an incredible job explaining the world and what we're to do and how we're to live in it and what our responsibilities are. And one of the things for me, and listening to the lesson this morning and being charged to do this tonight, realizing the fact that I'm probably one of the worst people to give this lesson to, considering the fact that I manage a Walmart Supercenter, and I'm very much involved with the world. And it's a temptation for me, as I know it is for a lot of people, to be involved in the world. And we're talking about being involved in the world and being separate from the world and being into the church. One of the temptations that we have are things like technology, and they come to you in paper, I come to you in iPad, so I don't know if I'm the best one to give the lesson or not, but I can tell you that it's something that's important for us to do, to understand the fact that sin is out there and it's in the world, and we have to be able to redefine ourselves and separate ourselves from the world. Brother Brown talked to us this morning about the fact that if we go along with everything of the world, if we continue on and do everything inside the world, then we're just trying to satisfy men. If we attempt to satisfy men, what good is the point? We should be able to satisfy one another and work to please God and do what is right within God. After being saved, sin doesn't cease to exist. We still sin after we're saved. And that's the thought when you first come into it, you continue to grow in your Christian life and continue to develop. But sin's still there. And then the other thing is the world doesn't change either. You think that the world would change, that now that you become a Christian, that everybody inside the world is going to change as well. Well, the world doesn't change either. The temptation is still there. All the things that are out there are still there, and you're still tempted by them. And as actually, the closer we get to God, the more we're tempted. And it seems as though the more we grow towards God, it seems like the greater the temptations become. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, and maybe y'all don't have that temptation, but it seems as though the more that you learn, the more that you work towards establishing your faith in your spiritual life, the greater the temptations become. And hopefully that hurdle will become less burdensome as time goes on. But I can tell you it's a challenge now. And it's something that we need to build one another up with and help one another. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And when a person is saved, they're to walk a new road. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new." James identified this as the transformation that produces works in James 2:14 through 25, and Ephesians 2:10 and 11 reaffirms this as well, that the work that we do as Christians defines what we actually are, and we need to actually do the work, but we don't do the work to get the reward. We are Christians, and so we do the work. And it's one of those things that, you know, which one's the egg or the chicken first, but we do the work because we're loved. And it seems as though that when you first start, or when I first started in my faith and I first started walking in faith, I started realizing and came to the realization that it's a lot more difficult than just going forward. And you see it on TV, someone says, "Hey, you just come forward and confess Jesus as your Savior and accept Him in your home right there in the living room, and you don't ever have to do anything, and after that you can just go play golf or do whatever." Well, it's not that easy. There's more to it than that. If we go back into Acts 8, it shows Simon the sorcerer was baptized, but he didn't change. You know, you can accept Christ into your life, but the change, the things that we do, is part of what we're charged with as Christians. And we're responsible to change the way we walk. If we don't change, then there is no forgiveness. We have to do the things that we need to do. I have a friend that I've talked to on multiple occasions, and he's asked me multiple times. He's not a Christian. He doesn't go to church. And we've talked to him about his spiritual life on multiple occasions. And he said, "What is the benefit of actually becoming a Christian?" He said, "If I become a Christian, then I have to go to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. And it seems as though your time is all taken up by this Christian thing." And he said, "You know, I've read the Bible, and I've seen some of the things on TV shows and whatnot. And it seems like a whole lot easier to just wait until you're really, really sick right there at the end and just ask for forgiveness and just walk on into heaven." I said, "That would be neat if it worked that way. In the beginning, you may think it might work that way, but there's so much more to it. Our lives that we live each and every day, the things that we do in our lives is what defines us as individuals. And the work that we do is what assists us to glorify God. And it's hard to explain to someone who's not in the church why you would want to be in church. But like I ask him, I can't understand why you'd want to sit in the woods and try to kill a deer either. But that's something you're just going to have to talk to me about, because I can't figure that out either. So it's not something that you can just come in at the very end and do, but it's something that we need to work with each and every day. And it's a walk. And without the works, there's no point. There's no meaning whatsoever. And that's the whole point, is we need to make sure that the work we do glorifies God. And the things that we do in this life glorify God and build each other up and work towards helping one another and loving God. And here in a moment, we're going to ask Dale to come and accept anyone that feels subject to accept the call of invitation. And that concludes our session that we have. And I, you know, hope we did it quick, you know. We made good time. But if we will, stand and sing. And Dale's going to come forth now. Hey.